Feels so good, don't it?
We're back. Back in the saddle. Ready to go.
Welcome back to the Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. Adam Capps, that's Hank Harewood. Hank, how in the world are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I had a big day. I'm not the handiest of all God's creatures, but I was able to work on my deck some today with a friend of mine. Shout out to Matt. I'm sure you'll give this a listen. I know that you're appreciated. And so I had a big day, man. I am on top of the world, luckier than I deserve, as I usually am. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's our first week back at school to where the kids are back, yet we still have probably over half the kids are remote. So having to teach the kids at school and the kids at home simultaneously is double the work. So it's been an exhausting week. The 3-day weekend will be welcome. But, dude, I'm excited to talk some JB tonight.
I am too, man. I'm excited for another round of Under 40 Victims of Fate. You know, we had a good, pretty good first run. If you all haven't checked it out, we've gotten really great feedback, and not just from people we're related to, but some really good feedback on our pilot podcast. So go check it out. We're on Apple, Spotify, a couple other spots Adam can talk about, but check out our pilot, Under 40 Victims of Fate, where we introduce ourselves and introduce the podcast, and you can find out a little more about Adam and myself. And what we're doing here. And I'll tell you, a lot of our listeners, not just under 40 victims of fate, right? I had some folks who were just hitting that 40-year-old mark and maybe wishing that they were still an under 40 victim of fate. I'll be there in 5 or 6 years myself. But, you know, we got some folks who have been around the old block a little bit. And even our guy Michael Holly, Parrothead legend, Michael Holly gave it a listen, gave me a big thumbs up on Facebook. He really enjoyed it. Know some other great Parrotheads out there have listened to it and enjoyed it. So, hey, a pretty good first week. And as Jimmy likes to say, second time, now we're on our own, bud.
That's right. Yeah. I probably won't be able to twist my mom's arm and get her to listen to this one. But, you know, nevertheless, I'm just excited to be doing it, man. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, maybe those over 40 victims of fate want to be under, but, you know, our whole name's derived from our envy of them and being around in the heyday of Buffett mania. So, you know, we've all got something to be proud of in that sense, I guess. We're hanging on to our youth, but man, those guys were around in the peak days.
No doubt. And I shared this project with a friend of mine who listened to it and, he quickly asked me, he said, do most Jimmy Buffett fans even know how to listen to a podcast? And so I think so, you know, almost 100 listens on our very first week, you know, with not a ton of advertising or pushing, almost 100 listens. And man, if we can get some more folks to listen and to share it, and I know in a couple of weeks we'll start having some guests on so they can twist their mom and dad and brother and sister's arms into listening to it as well. Man, who knows? We might crack 100 people one week, and wouldn't that be amazing?
That would exceed my expectations for sure. Like I said, I was just most excited to have an excuse to talk about Jimmy and his music. And tonight specifically, I guess we're going to call this episode Songs We Don't Know By Heart. And this isn't, so I know like Heike at the Margaritas or the Margaritaville podcast did an episode where he did the 15 songs he would choose for the Songs You Don't Know By Heart project. This isn't that. I think we would have a completely separate list. And so, I don't know, I just got this idea last week and I sent Hank a text and I said, think of maybe the 10 to 15 songs that you don't know by heart. Like, we're looking at, we're taking a self-aware look within at our parrotheaddom and kind of looking and seeing what are some songs that we admittedly do not listen to as much as we should listen to because they're great songs. And Hank, if you're like me, there aren't many songs I don't know by heart.
There, no doubt. I remember very vividly being at a concert one time. It was one of those perfect concerts and magic shows where I literally knew every word to every song that Jimmy sang. And my friend turned around and he said, "You really do know every word to every song." And I said, "Well, I did tonight. I don't know every word to every song. You know, the guy's been making music for 45 years or so, maybe a little longer at this point, probably 50 years almost. So I don't know. I mean, he's got hundreds of songs out there and dozens of albums, so I don't know all of them. But you're right. There's some that I don't necessarily seek out, but they come up on my shuffle, and I'm glad when they do. I'm getting to learn them a little more. It would take a lot of work, I think, to learn everything. And, you know, I also get accused sometimes, Adam, as you may, of being a Buffett homer. Folks will tell me, "Hey, you just like any song by Jimmy Buffett, any old song he puts out, you'll like just because it's Jimmy Buffett." And I'm here to tell you that's not true. There are some Jimmy Buffett songs I don't listen to regularly, and we'll talk about some of those songs I don't listen to regularly in a little bit. And I'll even go so far as to say this. There's at least one Jimmy Buffett song, Adam, that I don't like. That is Math Sucks. I'll tell you what else sucks. And that song, you know, not a great one. And so I am not a Buffett homer, you know, but boy, really do appreciate a lot of the songs that I don't get to as often as I'd like to.
Yeah, 100%. I think that qualifies you as not being a Buffett homer to have one song that you don't like out of his, you know, 400 or 500 song catalog. 100%.
No doubt.
So, yeah, there's a couple I don't really vibe with, but gosh, to be honest, it's only a couple that I don't vibe with. Like, I just pulled up, I have a Spotify playlist of just simply titled Jimmy Buffett of all the songs that I like, and it is 11 hours and 28 minutes. So, I can just hit shuffle on that playlist and never have to hit skip.
Now, would you be able to quickly identify all of the songs on that playlist? Even if you don't know them by heart, would you be able to quickly identify, "Oh, this is that song"?
This is a game that I make my wife play with me sometimes. I'll be like, "Just pick random songs. I have 3 seconds to tell you what it is." And we just did it last week, and I didn't miss a single one. So weird that you would ask that, but yeah, it's actually a game that I make her play with me. So
yeah, my wife and I have been doing that for years as well, man. But we do it with all kinds of music on the radio. Love
it. Yeah. So it started out with she would play any Kenny Chesney song, and I could tell her what year it was released, what album it was on, which track number. I'm not that good with Jimmy because he has so many more recordings. I could probably tell you half of them, what track. I could tell you all of them, kind of what album they're on or whatever, but the track list, listening to them in a Spotify shuffle, it's hard to remember all of that. But anyway, yeah, I'm proud to say that a lot of the first notes I can identify the song with, but I'll tell you the ones that'll get you are ones like that start with ocean and wave sounds, like the Coast of Marseille or the Oldest Surfer on the Beach or something like that, where they both start with that wavy ocean waves crashing sound.
Yep.
That's a little more difficult to get in the first 3 seconds, but give me a guitar chord or steel drum or something. Yeah, I'm game.
No doubt. And I'm pretty good at most of them as well, but sometimes I'll get mixed up. You know, there's a couple that sound so similar, you know, that sometimes it's hard to not get mixed up. Gravity Storm sounds like a couple of them. It's hard to, sometimes yeah. I think, "Oh boy, I'd be the only one to get this one. This is Gravity Storm." And then we start singing something else, and I say, "Well, never mind. No, it's not." But Gravity Storm, great tune. One I don't listen to enough. It didn't make my list for tonight. But boy, what a great tune.
So what I did was I made a 15 song playlist, and we'll throw my playlist and Hank's playlist up in the link to this episode. And I'll have that link to my 12-hour Buffett playlist too. But tonight we have picked our top 6 songs. And admittedly, I think Hank took a couple of songs I would throw in there, but that's good because we both get to talk and rave about those songs. And it opened up the door for some other ones to sneak into my list. So again, these are songs that we're not saying by any means we don't know these songs. We're not even saying we don't know these songs completely by heart, because some of them we probably do. But these are songs that we admittedly do not listen to as often as we should. So like I said, Hank's going to have 6, I'm going to have 6, and we're just going to romanticize Jimmy Buffett music, and I couldn't be more excited for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why don't you start it off, Adam?
All right. So my first song is a song that Mac actually wrote, and it is She's Going Out of My Mind. From the Riddles in the Sand album, I put that vinyl record on a few weeks ago. And when it got to that song, I was like, oh my gosh, I've had this song on my playlist. I've listened to it a few times before, but I never, ever have given it its due. And it is just off the charts. Let's take a little listen to it.
Talk to her pictures and stare at the wall, and my friends come and offer their help. To my back they're afraid that I'm losing it all. To my face they say I'm not myself, and they name all the doctors they think I see, but they don't understand it's not me. She's going out of my mind, and I'm showing all of the signs. I thought that our love was one of a kind. Now she's going.
When you think Mac McAnally, you know you're going to get killer lyrics, and you know you're going to get like this simple chord progression, but it's always going to work. So something I've noticed with all of Mac's songs is the melody always feels somewhat familiar, but different at the same time. I don't know how that makes sense, but I think that's part of the reason he's been able to write such amazing songs throughout the years, man.
I'll tell you what, he's written so many good ones and so many great ones that you share with Jimmy. The obvious one comes to mind, It's My Job. Pretty good tune and written by Mac. And as Mac likes to tell people, he put It's My Job on a CD, and about 700 of his closest friends and family bought that CD. And then a friend of his, put it on a CD, and about a million of that guy's friends and family, that was Jimmy Buffett, bought that CD. He likes to joke in concert, but some other great ones from Mac, too. Some recent stuff, too, with Kenny Chesney and Caroline Jones, too. Shout out to Kenny Chesney and Caroline Jones. I know you're a big fan of both of them, but Mac, universally, Nobody From Nowhere, great one. Mac is universally regarded as one of the greatest songwriters in Nashville as well. He should be, man. A great one. But what was interesting about this tune with Jimmy, he started off as such kind of a Gulf Western kind of singer, a little more country influence, which makes sense, right? Worked for a magazine in Nashville and was trying to make it work up there in Nashville for a while. Had a real Western influence. So that makes sense. After the foray into the islands and into the ocean and into the sailing started, you know, Riddles in the Sand was really a jump back into kind of the Western sound. When you think about this one, a nice old, nice, sweet old country, could be country tune. Who's the Blonde Stranger? Definitely could be on the country charts today. Great one from Riddles in the Sand.
So I heard Mac talking about this song on, might have been the Margaritaville podcast, and he said Garth Brooks cut this song like 3 or 4 times, but Garth kept playing his version of the song for his dad, for Garth's dad. And Garth's dad told Garth, "Garth, it just doesn't sound as good as Jimmy's version or Mac's version." And Mac said, "Garth, tell your dad to shut up. He wanted a Garth Brooks cut." And I get that. But
that's pretty good company.
Man, it would be really cool to hear that version. I know it's out there somewhere, but I don't know, maybe Garth is one of those guys that releases a box set like every 4 months now. So maybe he'll throw it on one before long.
All right, his third or fourth farewell tour, I think. And thank goodness, man. You know, the music world and the world in general could use a little more Garth Brooks.
Yeah,
great concert, unbelievable entertainer.
That's true. Okay, put you on the spot. What Buffett song, or excuse me, what Garth Brooks song would you like to hear Jimmy cover?
Man, I don't know. That's a weird, a hard one to think about, right? Because they're just so different.
Yeah.
You got to really think about what the songs where I love, you know, Garth Brooks, right? I mean, I think about Friends in Low Places, and I don't know that I'd love to hear Jimmy do that one necessarily, or, you know, if Tomorrow Never Comes, I don't know. I don't, you know what's a fun song? I don't know if it works for Jimmy or not, but Calling Baton Rouge is a fun song, and it may be good.
That would be interesting. That's a good one.
Two Pina Coladas, I think, makes the most sense, right?
That's the obvious choice, I think. I think that's the obvious choice. Have you ever heard The Beaches of Cheyenne?
I may have, but I can't pull it up.
It would be cool to hear the Coral Reefer Band and Robert with the steel drums on that song. It would be really cool. It's just like big old power ballad. But anyway, that's enough on the Garth Brooks rabbit hole. But Hank, what is your what's your first pick, man?
Yeah, I'm gonna jump into my first two here, I think. I think what is underappreciated, Jimmy writes in one of his books, I think The Pirate Looks at 50, maybe. He refers to himself as an old rock and roller, you know. And so I think sometimes our guy James likes to play the rock and roll a little bit, and he does it well. But the first one I think of off Son of a Sailor, 1978, Livingston Saturday Night, a pretty good old rock and roll tune back in the day. And fun fact, that's one of those songs, as what happens with a lot of Jimmy's older music. There's things in there where I have no idea what the heck he's talking about, and I got to look it up. Like when I first heard the song and it said, you know, you got your Tony Llamas on, I remember thinking, what in the hell is a Tony Llama? You know, so I looked it out. Turns out they're cowboy boots. But Livingston Saturday Night is great, man. That's a fun tune. And, one of those first warm nights, it'll be extra fun this year as Tara and I sift through parenthood and get through the first year of parenthood with our little guy Mayor, who had a great report this week, is doing well. Appreciate everybody's warm wishes on that. And he's doing a little bit better. And, I think as we get to one of those first warm nights when her and I can get away together, I think about Livingston Saturday Night, and that'd be a fun one to pull away from the house that first warm night with the windows down and that music up and get to go let your hair down a little bit, what hair I've got left. And the next one, Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost is I got to be honest with you, one that I wasn't crazy about at first, but the more I've listened to it and the more familiar I get, I could see this one kind of coming onto my regular rotation. And a good one, right? 15 years after Livingston Saturday Night, Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost off the Fruitcakes album, you know, a good one here.
Man, this is hilarious how this song starts.
No hit records, no MTV videos, you'll never make it here. Scary.
Like, what better example of the 1990s can we have than Jimmy Buffett saying, not...
That's right. And the whole Fruitcake, if you watch the Fruitcakes music video for the song Fruitcakes, it really is a representation of the early 1990s.
100%. I'm so grateful that if I was born the year of any album, that is that one.
That's right. But I love it. So this great tune, I think, a lot of fun. And I could just hear Peter Mayer just ripping this one up on the old guitar. Probably one of the most underrated rock and roll guitarists, our guy Peter Mayer. He is unbelievable playing the guitar, and so I think he probably likes to jam on that one.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, those first two, man, that you picked, complete bangers. I think tour before last, he opened up with Livingston Saturday Night, I believe.
He did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was That was just a great way to open the show. The one thing I love about Jimmy is how he'll open the show with these deep cuts, you know?
Yeah, and you know what I love is Jimmy has always done what suits him well in concert, right? You're always going to hear the great eight probably, that people know and are there to hear. But you're going to hear a lot of other stuff that folks like you and I, a lot of our listeners, would appreciate. If you go back and look at the first song or two, right? Like, he's usually not coming out of the gate playing like
"That's Right"
for the Night or something like that. You know, he's he's coming out of the gates.
He's blazing, man.
Just blazing. You know, some rock and roll, Livingston Saturday Night. Play a little Summer School sometimes with the opener. Once in a while, you might get lucky back in the day in the mid-90s if you look at some of those concert trends in the mid-90s. And a handful of times, he hit you with one particular harbor right off the bat. Really set the tone.
Talk about just going ahead and getting everybody into it. Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine, like, that emotional roller coaster you're about to go on if he starts with one particular harbor? Like, yeah. I don't know if my mind could take that, but I'd love to try. All right, man. My next one, and in fact, my next two are from the album Somewhere Over China from 1982. My mother-in-law for Christmas gave me a vinyl record clock that was made out of the Somewhere Over China record. And I was like, and my wife said, you don't play that album a lot, do you? I was like, I don't, but I should. And so that reason alone, it was a great gift because I've dug back into that record. And there's some really good songs on there. And I guess the first one that I like so much is Somewhere Over China. And it is just Jimmy, story-wise, at his core, talking about someone just escaping. You know, he wins the character in the song wins a sweepstakes and he just gets out of town. He doesn't stop to think about taxes or anything of that nature. And just, again, Jimmy has that quality to make a melody sound familiar and just feel good. And this one does that.
It sounds great, man. And you know, you know how funny things, sometimes songs will connect you to people. And I admittedly not overly familiar with this whole album for a while till maybe had to be 3 or 4 years ago now. I'm walking along. It's when I worked at UNC Charlotte. And I'm walking along with this guy who I think, if I remember right, worked in our marketing department. His name was Jackson Cook. Shout out to Jackson Cook. I'm going to have to send him this podcast episode specifically to listen to. But he's like us, big parrot head, younger than both of us, in fact, but a big parrot head. And we were talking about all the Jimmy Buffett songs that people don't really know about. And he mentioned Somewhere Over China. So I think about him. So shout out to Jackson, man. I'm excited for you to listen to this.
Good deal. Good deal. Yeah, maybe he'll tell his friends too. And the other one, and what has become my favorite song on this record, is If I Could Just Get It on Paper. And shout out to Dan at Classic Buffett, because he's one of the main reasons I've been rediscovering some of these songs. He'll post those awesome pictures on Instagram, those classic Buffett pictures and he always posts them with a caption. The caption's always lyrics from Buffett song and normally a deep Buffett cut. And this next one, me being someone who loves to write, loves to read, If I Could Just Get It on Paper, man, this is my favorite song from this album. And one that I've been playing nonstop lately.
I love it. Play a little for us.
If I could just get it on paper, the things that have happened.
What an appropriate line for Jimmy Buffett.
If I could write on paper, right,
happen tonight. And you know, that's why he's made a career, right?
I think this, that's right. And I think this song is also some foreshadowing about him. It kind of reminds me of Landfall. What would they do if I wrote a thick book? This song's kind of I think he's more so talking about writing, novel writing or book writing. He says later in the song that time away seemed to work well for Faulkner, and my favorite line in the whole song is in the last verse, and I don't know exactly the timestamp of it, but he says, life and ink, they run out at the same time. So he gives you that real poignant line, life and ink, they run out at the same time. And then, like he always does, after he gives you something that's really contemplative, he comes back with the right hook with a good deal of comedy and just like only Jimmy could do. Life and ink, they run out at the same time, or so said my old friend, the squid. Like, are you kidding me? That is just absolutely brilliant. I don't know how he does it, but
that is brilliant, man. That is brilliant and well written. And one of those, you can hear the appreciation Jimmy has for writing and for reading and absolutely. For prose, right? When he says stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. Again, as an English teacher, anytime he name drops those authors I love, like Faulkner, when he's talking about Mark Twain in, you know, Sail Upon the Ocean, just like Mr. Twain in Take Another Road, or Remittance Man being a callback to Following the Equator, the book by Mark Twain, Love in the Library, just it's so cool to see his obsession with literature and how that influences his writing. And there's many more in my, probably my favorite Buffett song, Far Side of the World. I've lived it in the pages of Saint-Exupéry. So,
yep, you're right. And you know, you were talking about that song and you mentioned Love in the Library, a great love song. And we could probably write this down and, you know, send Adam or I a note if you'd like to hear this podcast talking about Love in the Library. We could really do a Jimmy Buffett love song podcast, right? And it's probably heresy to many. There are some days I wonder if Come Monday is the best love song he ever wrote, because this next one I'll mention, I like it for a couple reasons. One, it's a little bit of a love song. Two, it has some outstanding horns. And I know, you know, the horn section is thinned out for James over the years, especially since I've been going to concerts. But if you look at the early 2000s and the mid-90s, man, they had some great horns rocking, led by Amy Lee, you know, who I don't even know what happened with Amy Lee and the band there, but she's not part of the band anymore, and the horn section is thinned out. But, man, Meet Me in Memphis. Off of Florida Days, great tune, great horns, and I'm particularly fond of this song. My bride and I have had some fantastic times in Memphis. We've had a really great time, a neat little city. But if you look at the lyrics for Meet Me in Memphis, you know, it's about a guy holed up down in his trailer down in the Keys, and the love of his life's over there in Memphis, and they need to meet up and rendezvous over there, which is a recurring theme in a lot of Jimmy's love songs, right? Hey, meet me here, or let's run away to there. And I guess that goes for all love songs. But my third song is Meet Me in Memphis off the Florida Days album. Great little love song, but upbeat and a lot of fun.
Yeah, before I play a little sample of this, this is a song I tweeted to Jimmy and his team regularly when they were asking for suggestions for the Songs You Don't Know by Heart series. So I'm so thrilled to see you throwing it on here tonight. And you've heard, I think it's Mike Utley that's talked about the first line in Pirate, Mother, Mother Ocean, I've heard you call. And at that point, it's already a great song and you want to hear more of it. This one is the exact same way. He's holed up down in Ramrod Key at the Tavernier Hotel.
Yeah.
Like, that just makes me want to listen to it some more. Like you said, these horns do not stop.
They're great. Living out his loneliness like a
Again, a kind of a musical callback to country a little bit, and then come the horns.
Yep. Well, I just love it. And I love the chorus, and you can hear the good keyboard in there too. I still don't know that I've ever seen anybody. I don't know who has more fun, actually. I won't say that I've never seen anybody. I don't know who has more fun on stage in a concert. Jim Mayer, if you ever look at Jim, he looks like he's just completed the ruse of his life, and he's still getting away with it 30 years later.
Mr. Smiley up there, man.
He's as happy as he can be. Or Michael Utley, you know? Mike Utley, smart guy. Not just musically inclined, smart guy. Was going to go to dental school. How about that? A guy from old Alabama or Arkansas, He was going to go to dental school and decided to go play the piano for some random singer cutting an album in the early 70s. It worked out okay for him.
Yeah, 100%. So you want to go – why don't you go ahead and set your next one up too.
Next one here, a little bit of a love song again. Lady I Can't Explain, great one. It's a little bit rock and rolly, but a real good one. A lot of influence on this song, Lady I Can't Explain, from Keith Sykes, who is a singer and songwriter, and who, you know, this is the thing I always think about on Lady I Can't Explain. So you've got Jimmy Buffett, old Catholic kid from Mississippi in the Gulf Coast area, and then you've got Keith Sykes, and they're hanging out down in Montserrat together and write the Volcano album. And I just Keith Sykes being from I believe Kentucky, and so I think about an old guy from Kentucky and a guy from Mississippi. These two American kids at that point, they were kids, right? This was what, the mid to late 70s, they cut Volcano. And so a couple of American kids who were hanging out down in Montserrat and wrote a lot of this album. They literally had the world at their fingertips and hit a home run with Lady I Can't Explain off the Volcano album. Just a really great song, man, a lot of fun. And makes you think a lot about, you know, where Jimmy's head was and who he was thinking about maybe when he and Keith were cutting this song.
Yeah, this is one that was in my top six right now as well. So I was glad that you picked it and I'm able to throw another one in there. But I'm a hopeless romantic.
A hopeless romantic, which really, you know, if you read a lot of Jimmy's books and listen to a lot of his songs, man, he is leads the charge in the hopeless romantic category for all of us.
And this one for sure makes me think of my wife. Oh, man, what a great, great choice, Hank. That's a good one. In fact, Volcano is in my record player right now. So what an amazing album. We'll dive into that one hopefully in a few months or so. But I love the Jimmy Buffett love song podcast idea, maybe around Valentine's Day.
Right? Hey, that's a great idea.
Yeah. We'll have the parrot heads can play it for their lovers. And just, you know, you can't go out. It's COVID season. So just put on the Under 40 Victims of Fate love song podcast. Throw your wife a steak on the grill and just.
That's right.
Could there be a worse Valentine's Day?
Oh, no doubt. maybe put, you know what? Just get our podcast and our playlist. We'll put out the playlist a couple of days before Valentine's Day. You can warm it up a little bit.
Maybe the playlist is a better idea to play while you're having dinner.
That's right. Play the playlist there. You don't want to play the podcast with two guys like me and Adam talking because you want your wife thinking about you and not us.
That's right.
You know?
So, that's right. Don't worry, Honeydew will be on the playlist. Don't worry.
You go. I love it.
I'm going to throw an audible here, Hank. I just have to put this one in there because last spring when they shut school down and it was quarantine and everything, it at least was starting to get warm outside, right? And during that time, I dove into the Banana Wind album. Love that album. It's probably one of my five favorite now. So this is a song that I back up. A few weekends ago, I put the Banana Wind album on because it's just been so cold lately in North Carolina and just a lot colder than I want it to be. And I don't know about out there in Charlotte, man, but we've had like the wettest winter ever.
We've had a lot of rain. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, when I hear the Banana Wind album, I'm taken back to last spring when, yeah, sure, the world was crazy, but I put this on. It was getting a little warmer outside, and this was kind of my peace of mind. And got to go with the first song on the record, man, Only Time Will Tell. And that's kind of a place we're in right now, too. Only Time Will Tell what in the world's going to come with so many things. But the way I look at it, as long as I've got my family, as long as I've got my faith and some good Buffett music, I'm not too worried about the rest of it.
There you go. You know, the thing I love this song. You know, this one could not make my songs you don't know by heart. I'll right. probably listen to this one two or three times a day. Absolutely adore it. You're just a great, great tune. But like you said, hey, you know, just think about the chorus. Only time will tell if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Only time will tell. Is there a message in this song? Will it ever make sense? Will it ever ring a bell? Only time will tell. You know,
that's right.
just well written and good stuff.
Yeah.
You listen to the last verse. You know, I always smile and grin a little bit when I think about this one. The last verse there, you know, if you play around the 3:38 mark, I woke up this morning feeling absolutely grand. For nearly a half a century, I've been singing in a band. And you can just tell, you know, I've had this conversation with different friends. I'm not sure that anybody has as much fun at their pretend job as Jimmy Buffett does at his.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
So did you? I was going to try that 3:38, see how close you were.
May have got that timing off a little bit. Sounds like we may be at the end there.
Yeah, I think we're winding down.
Great ending to that song, and just a lot of fun song. And I'm glad, Adam, that you're discovering it, getting more into it, and recognizing how great it is. Because again, this is there are a lot of days where this is on my top 10 list, probably.
Love it. Yeah, I'm glad you were able to provide an extra bit of insight there, because these are the songs that I'm just now taking that deep plunder into. So. All right, man. So your next song, again, we can rave about Buffett's songwriting, well, until I fall asleep tonight and then all day tomorrow, and I couldn't stress it enough, but again, boom, first lines of the song on this one.
No doubt. And this being the last one here, a song that maybe – it hasn't been too long that I've been getting into it, but I have found myself listening to it a little more, maybe over the last 2 months. And shout out to Barbie and Jaina, a couple of big parrot heads. In fact, they were one of the first folks to send us a gift when Little Mayor was on the way. They sent Trouble Dolls and a couple of other Jimmy Buffett kids books and a little cute onesie. So shout out to them. Really excited to share this. This is one of Barbie's faves, Six String Music. Great one off, again, one of your favorite albums, Fruitcakes, I think it is. I'm not sure.
That's right.
So a really good, really simple little song, unbelievable writing, and just a great tune. I love the beginning of it, like you said. You know, it talks about, let's get back to what really matters here, and that's just a little bit of music and a little bit of life.
Turn off the TV, turn off the crap, kick up your high heat.
I wish every time the news came on, someone could hear that line.
No doubt. And you've got one on me on this. I don't play the guitar, Adam, and you play the guitar and ukulele and probably various other stringed instruments that I can't play, but you've got one on me here. You know, your wife can climb on up there on the couch with you and kick off her heels and let you play a little music. All I can do is turn on somebody else playing music.
Well, she, if it makes you feel any better, she's normally like, babe, just put that up. go to the other room, play for your Buffett friends on the Facebook group. Oh man, what a great song. I want to skip ahead a little bit. This right here, man. You've heard Buffett say it all the time, music is a universal language. And that's what that's talking about right there.
Yep, no doubt. Man. A lot of mentions of Zanzibar for James and his music there.
Yeah.
Another one in Far Side of the World, obviously there. New Year's Eve in Zanzibar.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, so you cut your list to five, and I'm going to do the same thing. So my last one is actually one of those B-sides or rarities, whatever, off of Boats, Beaches, Bars, and Ballads. I think I said that in the right order. But anyway, this is a song that the Neville Brothers are all over, and it's called Middle of the Night. And I heard this song, obviously, when I bought the box set, but I've rediscovered it recently just on a shuffle, and I have been playing it on the rig the last week or so. So let's listen to Middle of the Night. I know you're not very familiar with this one either, so I want to get your take. Nothing much to it that draws me. Nothing that draws me to it quite as much as just, it's really pretty, man. I think it just sounds great. It's pleasing to my ears. And so, yeah. Sometimes that's all it takes.
That's a, you know what, I would categorize that as an easy listening song. You know, that is the classic. I think there used to be an old music
easy
listening. And you know what? That probably would have fit on there. I mean, that's just a smooth, easy listening, but well written, good tune, you know?
Yeah, I love that one, man. So I think, like we said at the top of the show, we could go on and on. We probably, like I said, my playlist has about 15 songs. I think Hank's has 9 or 10. So, we'll probably combine those and throw that playlist up for any of you guys that have liked what you heard today. And then to check out a few more, I know Hank had Boomerang Love on his list. I had Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami for one line. And somebody in the Parrothead group on Facebook put this line up with a picture the other day and said, I am umbilically connected to the temperate zone. And that line alone just keeps me listening to Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami lately. All 8 minutes of it.
You know, great, great song. I love it. And good list. You're right. Boomerang Love was on mine because Boomerang Love is kind of one of those easy listening songs too. But yeah, Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami. What a fun song. You know, we lived in Miami for a little while, a couple years, adored it. Ton of fun. Spent a lot of time over in Coconut Grove where I know Jimmy used to cut up about 35 or 40 years before I lived there. But man, a lot of fun. Loved Miami. And love really anything that reminds me of Miami. Like the song Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami. Great tune to add to the playlist.
Yeah, so we will link that to the description of this episode. And we will be back next week, possibly with a guest even. What do you think?
That's right. I'm excited about it. I think we've got a bunch of guests lined up, potential guests. And you know, you mentioned the Classic Buffett podcast earlier. Shout out to him, and that Facebook group is great. There's so much good old Jimmy Buffett stuff in there. We might actually, Adam, you and I at some point make a guest appearance on the Classic Buffett podcast. I'd encourage you to check that podcast out.
That's right.
If you're listening to us, well, you'd really love listening to Dan talk about James. But yeah, I think maybe next week we're starting to get into the area where we can have a guest and have some other under 40 victims of fate come and talk about their fanness and being a parent head and what it means to them and what got them involved with all this fun.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We are looking forward to hearing all these stories and hearing what songs mean something to these parent heads and for what reason. Because as I was telling you, a buddy that was on my golf team in college sent me a text right before we started recording and said, "Hey man, loved your first episode. Can't wait till the next one." And he has just a really great Buffett story that I can't wait for you guys to hear. Shout out Austin, thanks for listening, man. And yeah, there's plenty out there, man. I can't wait. Dan is actually his favorite album we'll be reviewing probably in a couple of weeks. I'd love to have him on to talk about that. We've got we got some good guests lined up, so excited to get to that and excited to dive into some of these albums.
Absolutely. And Dan may not make the under 40 victim of fate cut, but he is enough of Buffett fan royalty that, boy, it'd be an honor to have him on. And we're excited. If you're listening into this, you can find me or Adam on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram, Under 40 Victim of Fate. Adam has that Instagram handle he'll share with you in a second. Send either one of us a message. If you are like us, an Under 40 Victim of Fate, and want to be on the show, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, that's right. So our Instagram handle is simply under40pod, and that's the number 40, under40pod, P-O-D. So yeah, give us a follow on there. That's very new, but we do want to get more involved on there. We need to set up an email, I guess, in case somebody, you know, wants to chat with us. We'll think about setting up an email in the meantime. Yeah,
we'll figure that out so you guys, I mean, our throngs of adoring fans can reach out. You know, when I'd like to.
When I'm not reading Beowulf to children at home. All right, Hank. Well,
Adam, this was a lot of fun. To all you guys listening, this was the Under 40 Victim of Fate podcast. We really appreciate you listening. And we look forward to talking to you all next week again.
Yep. Fans up, everybody.